good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Family Dynamics right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, the show where we talk about family-related aspects. And I believe family dynamics is a very bold term, or broad, pardon me, not bold, but broad terminology that incorporates a lot of stuff when we're talking about family. Of course, we can talk about all the different topics that we've covered here already, and yet much more, because, I mean, we can never really over-explore the topic of family. There's so much more that still needs to be discussed, so much more that still needs to be handled, and so much more that still needs to be brought on the surface. Now, of course, today afternoon, I think I'm getting so used to my evening show, which I so much appreciate. But anyway, this afternoon we're talking about the importance of child training, and I have in studio with me Pastor Richard Nengushe. A very good afternoon, Pastor. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you. What a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, my first time.
Indeed, but it's been a long time coming.
Yes.
The conversation with you has been a long time coming.
Right.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about the importance of child training, but first and foremost, I think people want to know, who is speaking on radio? So who is Richard Nengushe?
Richard Nengushe is a local chap. I'm actually hailing from Walvis Bay, Quissagmont, born there in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yes, thank God. So, but now, I'm married, moved to Windhoek, so married, one wife, and I have five children.
I appreciate
three
that,
boys,
one wife.
Yes, one wife,
yeah.
One wife, three boys, uh-huh. And two girls.
Oh.
And I recently became a granddad also.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Actually,
yeah,
you became a granddad.
Yes.
Wow. I think, how does that feel? You know, I've heard a saying, apparently children are sweet.
Yes.
Grandchildren are sweeter.
I think so too, because I got this vivid picture of my grandchild in this beautiful smile. It's only 3 months now, but I'm looking forward for wonderful days and times.
Yeah. A boy?
It's
girl?
It's a boy.
Oh,
yes.
Congratulations.
And he's named after me. So, wow.
Oh, my word.
I'm not just a granddad.
Are you kidding?
I'm also the namesake.
Oh,
also.
Wow. All names?
Sorry?
All your names?
The main name, Richard.
Okay.
So he's Richard and Omwene Etuna.
Wonderful.
And Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, but I'm going to hang on to my name.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then draw the benefit.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Really. I believe that's a milestone.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
I've
come a long way now.
Yeah, indeed. You know, I think it's about, you know, when as an adult or an early adult, having the dream is to have your own family.
Yes,
and you never actually, I think at that point, you just think about wife, children.
Yes.
You never actually think grandchildren are actually going to come.
Definitely.
With
you don't
time.
Really think that, because you're still occupied with the children.
Exactly.
And now there's another generation that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
I think it's a privilege. Because I believe I had all this training now.
Mm-hmm.
I can also pass on properly.
Exactly.
To the other generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're talking about the importance of child training.
Yes.
I'm actually glad we're talking about that.
Definitely.
Considering you just became a granddad.
Yes.
Exactly. So now when we're talking about the importance of child training,
yes.
Let's get right into it.
Thank you.
Why is it so very important, for us to even have such conversations? And why is child training very important even in the era that we are heading into, or we are into now?
Yeah, this is important because child training is when we start to raise a new generation, literally raising a new generation. That's when you're raising those who take your legacy further,
mm-hmm.
and it's come to personal.
Yeah.
We're looking at the future of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like our founding president used to always to make reference. The children are the leaders of tomorrow.
That's true.
So you're looking at what kind of leaders are we looking at?
Mm.
When you're looking at profession, what kind of teachers do you want to have tomorrow?
Mm.
What kind of doctor do you want to have tomorrow?
Yeah.
I remember when my wife was giving birth, this doctor mishandled her. He literally hit her right in front of me. So you
first
can
born?
Sorry?
That was,
that was the second bone. Oh. So you wonder, why would a doctor do something like that? Well, it probably goes back to his training.
Oh.
So you got this training. So yes, it's very important that what kind of teacher you're going to have. What kind of, are you going to have a doctor who's going to be handling the patients? Are you going to have teachers who's going to be swearing and doing all kind of stuff, taking advantage, abusing the children? What kind of leaders are you going to have? Are you going to have parliamentarians who will be stealing? Corruption, talking about all stuff like this. What kind of leaders are we going to have? What kind of elders are we going to have tomorrow? And so forth. And
what
so
kind
forth.
Of parents? What kind of father? What kind of mother? Kind of,
yes. It all starts with child training. It all starts right from there. Yes, because we know there is a saying that say you're going to bend the tree while it's still small, you know, and so forth and so forth. So training must start early. Early enough. That's very important.
Yes. Indeed. And I think that's a quite something that's obvious, but it's an eye opener. It's not so, we tend to forget it.
Yeah.
But really, the child becomes who they are trained to be at home.
Exactly.
It starts quite early. And it's interesting how some of these characters that were embedded in us when we were child, when we were children, is still stuck with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. For instance, in greeting, my grandfather and my grandmother have taught me to, is it prostate or the English has been, it has been on leave for a very long time. So it's a way you have to say thank you, in a manner you give certain posture.
Yes, yes.
It's been stuck with me. Sometimes I kind of like want to remove it in a way because happy you're in a modern place
you're
now.
You're looking at your environment, the influence.
But then again, there are those who really appreciate it and like, okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, now talking about that and training of children, I know that training, requires also the parent themselves to have some sort of skill or some sort of, some sort of training themselves. How then can parents perhaps be better trainers in order to be able to train up a child well?
Well, I think it all starts with whatever you want to achieve, you need to have an end goal.
Okay.
I think it all starts with what kind of child do you want.
So vision sort of.
Yes, you kinda, you know, it's like you don't just start building a car, you start off with a picture. What kind of car do you want to build? Yeah. If you want to build a house, you know exactly the end product. Yes. So, and I believe a lot of times as parents, that's what is lacking. We do not know what we want to raise. So, but therefore, that's why I like the Bible, because the Bible says, being a pastor, of course, the Bible is my reference.
Of course.
So the Bible is very clear. God always, the Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. And now when you come to the Bible, it's also very clear what kind of child you need to produce eventually. When you read in the book of Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, just allow me to read that if it's okay.
Yes.
So that's literally my reference in terms of what kind of child am I planning to raise? And when you read in Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, it says, "Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? What is it that God wants?" Then he said, "Godly children from your union." So that's for me the picture.
Okay.
Raising my child, what kind of child do I want to raise? I want to raise a godly child.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I can look back and say, thank God I've raised a godly child. Now some parents, if you unfortunately some parents will be running it up and down because they think their role is to make their children happy. So they go through the day trying to make their children happy. So they think they need to make their children happy by overloading them with gifts, with 110 opportunities, taking to the music school, go to the sports, go to the shopping, go to this. At the end of the day, they are so exhausted because a lot of parents do not know the kind of child they want to raise. They are thinking that they need to make their children happy. They're forgetting that we are in a a generation of entitlement.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So for me, it's about, I need to raise God's children. Mm-hmm. I need to raise children that God will be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, children that will live lives that are pleasing to God.
Yeah.
Children that will make an impact, children will make a difference
mm-hmm.
In society, in community, their neighbors, at school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expressing godly character,
exactly.
Kindness, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person I'm focusing on. The person
mm-hmm.
I'm focusing on, what kind of person I need to produce mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the Bible, when you read in Proverbs chapter 22, it says that train a child in the way that he should go. What's that way?
Mm-hmm.
The way he should go is to become a godly child.
Mm.
So train him now in the way he should go, and when he grow up,
he will not depart from it.
He will not depart from it. So therefore, it's to have a goal as a start. You need to aim at what kind of person am I trying to raise here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what moves me a lot is I meet a lot of parents who are literally crying because after all they have done.
Yes.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
I've met parents who said, well, enroll my child to go do law at UNAM. But I remember this particular parent, I was speaking about drug abuse and stuff like this. Man, we're going to have a function on mental health and, yes, especially on mental health. And
yeah.
This parent was really moved and started sharing her story with me. And his child is enrolled at university, but now the child is in the mental hospital.
Mm.
I said, what happened?
How old?
Not sure exactly, but anyhow.
A teenage?
No, it's maybe, yeah, 19, 20, I'm not sure exactly, but it's a university student.
Okay.
Yes, went to university, just think of all the money that was spent.
Of course.
But now the child is in the mental hospital. Why? Because it's a girl, and after all, she started using
drugs,
and now it's become a mental case. She said many a times, colleagues don't understand, she will come with a swollen eye, or because the child became abusive at home, and so they have to admit him at the mental hospital and so forth. But that was her struggle, and she just did not know what to do.
Yeah.
And so forth and so forth. So parents are struggling, and I've come across many of that, and parents are crying about the behavior of the children.
Yes.
They have done that, mm-hmm. And so forth, and they do not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, therefore, it's very important, I believe, to right from the beginning
mm-hmm.
to know what kind of child you want to
raise. And what to do.
And then
that's very important.
Comes to what to do. Therefore, the Bible then, going back to the Bible again, it gives us an idea. When you read in Ephesians chapter 6, then it gives us an idea what to do. That's not the what to do part. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger.
I love that. We're going to discuss that.
He said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. It's very important. How do you treat your children? Then he said, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So what am I supposed to do? Discipline and instructions discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. But before that, he told us that we need the way we treat our children is so, so important. So that brings a very important element, the element of because a lot of times we think it's about telling the child what to do. But I remember actually my wife and I attended some training at least on parenting.
Really?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Interesting.
And I remember the instructor telling us that good behavior is firstly caught and not taught. So it's very important that how you conduct yourself in front of your children. You must You are the role model.
Mm.
You must model the behavior that you want to see in your children. And I think many a time that is actually what is lacking. Mm-hmm. As parents, we fail to model.
Yeah.
For example, I will tell my children, you must not drink alcohol. Well, that's what I do every day.
Exactly.
You must not go to that place, but that's where I spend most of my time. I don't want my child to go to the shebeen. I don't want my child to go to the club, but that's where I go. So, just a simple example, yes. So behavior, good behavior is actually caught and not really taught. So, and much of then what I do is I draw a lot from my father. I've learned a lot from my father, the way he raised us up.
Okay.
My father was all about example.
Oh, wow.
Whatever he tells you to do, because he himself was doing that. I remember my father used to hammer the point of when, before the light goes on, you must be in the house. Because when, that was his lifestyle.
Yeah.
He's always from work
to home.
To home. And if I arrive at home and the lights are on outside, he'll be in the living room, always. And the second thing about Dad was, he was very, very consistent. And that's another very important element. Daddy was so consistent. He will tell you, son, before the light goes on, you are at home. And every time you fail to do that, he's not going to shout. He's not going to scream. He's not going to, he's not going to panic or whatever. He's always gonna call me on my name, Richard. Now, when he says, Richard, I feel
the ground must open up and swallow
me. It's just the sound of his voice, not shouting, not screaming, but just that authority that comes through, because it's authentic. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like somebody trying to pretend. So Richard, and then he'll make you sit down. Always make you sit down. That's what's the most interesting thing. Daddy always make you sit down. Then he ask you the same question. Even if it's 100 times, he's always going to ask you, Richard, what did I tell you? Oh no, Daddy said that when the light, before the lights come on, and then you mask out. Okay, and then what did you do? You know, and now this is what we're going to do. Then he comes with his discipline. And a lot of times, that's what we also misunderstand. When it comes about discipline, it's not about punishing the person. It's about correction of behavior.
Okay.
So that's where he was focusing on. You must correct my behavior. Okay. It's not out of anger and frustration, but it's just, okay, right, because you did that, you know, now you need to go pour the tap full of water, cold water. I mean, it's in Lofus Bay.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
already cold. Yeah. Coming at home, I'm already shivering. Cold water, shower, bathtub. Okay, this is part of these creative ways to discipline me to make sure.
Probably because he knows this would help you. Really.
Absolutely. He knew just what to do.
Mm.
And the funniest thing is the way we turn out to be.
Yeah.
Now, if it was just me, I would say, well, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But my brother, my sister, we all turn out to be, you know, in which way I'm talking about. Literally, I remember coming to high school, away from school for the first time. I thought, now, freedom! Now I'm free from this disciplinary or whatever.
Yeah,
because Sunday morning you have to go to church. There's no negotiation because he will be there.
Oops.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
So when I got to high school, I remember I went to one dance event, the first one at school. The next Sunday, things changed. I went to the church service, and for the first time, I literally listened to the word of God.
Wow.
And I opened up my heart. I said, Jesus, come into my life. That was the end of it.
Wonderful.
That was the end of it.
But it was as a result of a seed being planted continuously.
Continuously, even though, consistent. Uh-huh. Because he was tracing me in the way I should go. Not the way I wanted to go.
Okay.
Not the way I thought is nice.
Yeah.
Not the way the society thought is nice.
Yeah.
Not the day that was acceptable to the communities and friends. But the way he was convinced that this is the way God wanted my child to go. Okay. And when I grew up and really got understanding, I chose that way. And it happened to my brother, it happened to my sister, and now I'm a pastor.
Exactly. Married to one wife.
Married to one wife. Exactly. And I was just, I had this weekend, I had the privilege to conduct a marriage.
Yeah.
And I was telling the audience that, you know what, I got married at 34 years old. My wife was 29 years old. And I said, you know, and both of us were virgin. And I was like, yes. And I was like, you know what?
Oh, wow, Pastor.
Because the way we were raised, there's all the keys of the way we were raised.
Yes.
Yes. All those things contributed. Oh, I know maybe some people say, oh, what kind of pastor say stuff like that? That's
yeah,
taboo.
But it's the truth.
But
that's
I
what
said,
we need
you
to
know
say
what?
Now.
That's the way I was raised. It truly, truly made a difference mm-hmm. in my life.
Mm-hmm. And that's what made you also keep yourself
exactly.
and not be promiscuous.
Absolutely. And I'm married for 24 years already.
Imagine that.
Yes.
Mm. Pastor, let's go back to an interesting aspect that you spoke about, which
yes.
I've heard people say, we don't really talk about it. That scripture of children do not provoke your children.
Parents,
yes. pardon me. Parents do not
Ephesians
provoke your children.
Ephesians chapter 6, yes, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. read about it.
I think a lot of children now, and I could almost say adult children, can say that parents go about provoking their children. And it's an aspect that someone once said, when are we going to talk about this? Of course, we talk about train up a child in the way that you should go.
Yes.
They talk about children obey your parents.
Mm-hmm.
But we hardly talk about the parent's role.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we parents go overboard. And I like how you speak about discipline, trying to achieve something and not punishment.
Yes.
Then there's a difference between discipline, punishment,
yes.
abuse, and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So get into that for us, please.
Yes, when you read the verse, it says, Father, do not provoke your children to anger. How do you do that? How will you provoke your child to anger? One is telling us one way is by the way you mm-hmm. treat them. I realized that as our children were growing up, they actually reached an, you know, as a little child, of course, we know, in traditionally you use the rod.
Yeah.
Which is also,
a form of disciplinary
yes.
measure?
Because yeah. it depends on the age.
Mm.
Yes, because you cannot reason with a three-year-old much.
I started spanking my son when he was 9 months.
Yeah. So,
okay, small spank
yeah,
so
yeah,
he can
small,
get
so,
it.
Because he doesn't get the long-term impact and,
yeah.
and consequences.
True.
It's very immediate.
Okay.
So why the spanking is important for a smaller child, because that's what's going to be immediate. His
yeah.
mind cannot think further than that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you want to correct that action right there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is important though is the anger part.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the anger part. So it's very important. I remember, that many a times my wife and I would have a conversation, and it goes about, okay, when do you actually discipline or when do you spank? So it is very important that, because when you, and I've seen it especially with mothers, they spank when they are angry. It's like the child does something wrong and you blow up out of anger, you start hitting. Now what you don't realize, the child does not relate the spanking to what he has done wrong. He's relating it to mommy is angry.
Mm.
Yeah. So mommy is beating me because she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is going in his mind. Mm-hmm. Now what happened is that as he's growing up, he starts to react not to the discipline.
To the anger.
But to the anger.
To mommy's anger.
Mommy's angry. Now he also goes up.
Mm.
And I started realizing as they started growing up, they start reacting to the anger. So, and then I thought back and I said, now I understand how my mom used to do it.
Mm.
Literally, you do something wrong, my mom would just kind of make you forget about it. She would not react at all.
Sort of like a turn a blind eye at that
turn
moment.
A blind eye to what you did. Hours will pass by.
My grandmother used to do this.
And then
thing.
Somewhere in the afternoon, she'll send you to her bedroom. I remember my mother and father's bed. They had such a high, it was this high. So you could actually put the box of shoes underneath the bed.
Okay.
And, Then you say, oh, Richard, go get me my shoes there in my room. Yeah, and I'm so happy because mom is sending me, because my mind is telling me, hey,
we are good. Mommy has forgotten that story.
That story. And while I'm under the bed, she'll come in and close the door. But then she's not angry.
Because she's allowed time to pass. She had allowed
time to pass.
To cool down. She
could deal with her anger. I know she was angry. Mm. Definitely. But he have allowed the time to pass. And then, why she sent me to the room? Because she want me to be in a position where I will not run. Because definitely I'm going to run away.
Exactly. And you're a boy.
I'm a boy. So she's not going to get a hold of me. So therefore, she knew she had to plan everything. Because it's all about disciplining. Yes. It's all about correcting my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Then while I'm under that bed, she will lock the door and come in. And then she will pull me and say, come here.
Let's deal with it.
Let's deal with it.
Pastor Richard, pause right here. Let's Thank make you. A trip to the marketplace and allow for a scheduled commercial break. You come and continue that story right when you come back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give...
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Fraud is a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. And we are back. Like I said, you are tuned into Family Dynamics. If you're just joining us, well, thank you so much. It's an interesting conversation. We're talking about child training,
yes.
Very important aspect of the family. Pastor Richard, you're busy telling us about your story about how mommy would allow, your mom would allow time for her to cool down before she actually come and spank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very important because, it's an issue of anger. It's an issue of how do you deal with your child? How do you treat the child so that you prevent the provoking the child? You want, after the spanking, you want the response to be positive.
Yes.
Yes. Therefore, it was important then that she needed to deal with her anger so that's not, transfer, if I should say that, the anger to the child, because you find some children, then they have these anger issues also. Sometimes it comes from the parents, because the way parents dealt with the issues, remember, it's all about catching what, how, and the example, how you treat the children. So for me, that works. So I realized that, oh no. Now I understand how mom used to deal with this thing.
Yeah.
And I realized at a certain age, it is important that I need to start explaining clearly what is happening.
Mm.
Yes.
To the child?
To the child.
Okay.
So, because now he need to understand why
he's getting disciplined.
Why this is happening.
Mm.
Why we are going this direction.
True.
Why I'm doing that. Because then that's because that will be the emphasis. It's not about, well, daddy's not happy. Daddy doesn't like when you do this. Sometimes that, oh, we transfer to the church. Daddy doesn't like when you do that. Daddy's not happy when you do it. So it's the focus is about correcting behavior.
Okay.
So that should
about what is right morally,
yes, exactly.
Even society wise,
yes.
Not necessarily what daddy and mommy like.
Yes, what is the right? Remember, you need to train him the way he should go, so that's the right way.
Okay.
Richard, this is not right. The issue, it has to be about the issue.
Okay.
Yeah, and about the behavior and about the, because you eventually you want your child to make the right choices.
That's true.
Yes. And so forth. I remember I had a conversation yesterday with my son. We were talking about some of the issues. Okay, he's 19 years old now, mm-hmm. this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you know, Daddy, you know, I was the other time when you wanted me to go to do this thing, I just came from exam. I was tired. But the other time, Daddy talked to me about it. But what gave me the breakthrough is when Daddy talked to me about inheritance. And that gave the breakthrough for him to want to obey and to go do the right, to make the right choice, because he understood the value of it, why he needed to go there. So, Daddy spoke about sowing and that,
reaping.
Yes, so you understand the concept that he needed to go. That's part of him sowing into this business thing so that in the future
he can reap.
He can reap. So, and that, when he understood that, I was like, okay, I can't clearly remember when did I said that, but that it remained vivid in his mind. He said it's when Daddy brought that point up that I got the breakthrough and he was willing to go. And then they worked so hard. After that, I kind of bought chips and cold drink and whatever. Yeah. And he thought, oh, well, we deserve this. He said, but it was so nice. And I said, you know what, son? This is exactly how life is. I was talking to him. I said, you know what? He said, he felt so good. I said, yeah, exactly. Good feelings always comes when you do the right thing.
Isn't it?
And then that was the conversation. And I said, good feelings always comes when you do the right choice. You know, it's like when we don't always do the right thing because we feel good about it. But after we've done the right thing, the good feeling always comes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then we spoke about it, and then he said that he thought the cold drink and the chips, that was it. But then I came afterwards, about 2 days after, and I said, okay, guys, here's some money for you and you. He said, well, we thought the chips and cold drink was... So he was even more happy.
There's more reward for doing good, in other words.
So therefore, it's also bringing the second element of reward.
Oh,
that when you raise up the child, it's not just the spanking, but you need to also bring in also a certain element of rewarding, because that's what life is all about. You know, when you do the right thing, life does reward you. When you do, because it's about learning about consequences. If you do take the wrong choice, you get these consequences. But also when you do the right choices, there are also these consequences. So it's very important in your training as you, it must embody both positive and whatever, if you want to put it that way. So it's because the focus is about the issues and about behaviors and about the right choices. Because as your person goes forward, here's what's going to happen. If you eventually start using drugs, you may end up in a mental hospital. If you don't do, you're going to do. If you don't, that's how life is. So that you, if you keep yourself, I was talking about Sunday, I spoke about the veil, what it represents, the significance of the veil for the bride, for example. When you make this right choice, when you choose this, when you, keep yourself, protect yourself, not being promiscuous, you know what's going to happen when you get married. Going to appreciate your partner.
Actually.
Yes. You're not going to be comparing him to John and Pete and Mary.
Because there was never a John and a Mary.
So what happened, a lot of people, why marriages don't last, some of the reason is because now you have experience with John and you are hoping, Pete was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you have protected yourself, you're covered, you have made those right choices, there was no John, there was no Mary, there was not. This is like, this is utopia. You don't know
anything. Exactly. What you get is what you you go with the flow.
Exactly.
That's a very interesting aspect. And you have mentioned many beautiful things that I still want to dive deep into now there, Pastor Richard. One of them, speak about reward.
Yes.
I did hear someone speak this some time ago again to say, you know, we often always correct the children, discipline them and this and this, but you don't reward them for their good behavior. We only seem to see the bad behavior.
Yeah.
But what about encouraging the good behavior?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to try and do that more often now with my kids. Once in a while, they do get a chocolate because you did this.
Yes.
And then one thing I do is that, if the elder child did really good in certain area, he gets a chocolate. Everybody else doesn't get. It's his choice if he's going to share. But then again, mommy also teaches you that you should share.
You should share. Exactly.
So then I would say, okay, so for you, my other son, I would say, if you do the right thing next time, you get your chocolate.
Yes.
And he will hold me to it. He hold me. So I think it also shows that a child will not be trying to really do the right thing because mommy will bring my chocolate.
Yes.
And I'll be reminded to give the chocolate, which I would. And then also in the aspect, I think school wise as well.
Yes.
It's also, I see some parents who encourage their children in school. If you get a C, you get a $50.
Yes.
If you get a B, you get $100. Yes. Or you can get 20, 30, and that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And really, it encourages a child to say, I saw it being done with a former university mate.
Mm-hmm.
His dad told, and his grandmother told him, if you pass your grade 12, we will give you so money.
Yes.
And he passed his grade 12 with exactly 25 points in 5 subjects. Exactly what he needed.
Just to make it.
Exactly what he needed to make it.
Yes.
And lucky for him, he made it into the course that he really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
First year, he was just moving along. Second year,
yes.
Also just... Towards the end of second year, Pastor Richard,
yes.
He was so committed, and he said, his mom and dad said, if you graduate,
yes.
No, his grandmother and his dad said, if you graduate, yes. We'll do this for you.
Yes.
I saw this person move from an average student to an BA student.
Wow.
He did extremely well. Why? His parents were rewarding him.
Yes.
And as we speak, he's a qualified paramedic who's doing really well. So I love how you appreciate how you speak about the rewards aspect.
Yes.
Let's go back to purity.
Good.
Let's go back to purity. We're living in a world where purity is not encouraged. In fact, it's mocked upon.
Yes.
In fact, it's not believed in. People don't believe that there are still 32-year-olds out there, 34-year-olds out there, still keeping themselves pure and have good jobs and driving their cars, but they are keeping themselves pure.
Absolutely.
Out of fear of, I know of a friend whose marriage didn't work out.
Yes.
My cousin's marriage didn't work out.
Yes.
My mom has gone through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The next person they, and therefore that fear puts some guard in them to say, I'm going to guard myself.
Yes.
Even for those who are not, who may not be virgins anymore, who may even have gone on to have 3 children.
Yes.
Could be 3, 4 children, 5 different dads, you know, they still go on and make this deliberate decision to say, you know what? I want to step away from that. So Pastor, I would want you to talk about that.
Yes, yes. You know, as we say that it's about behavior change, and it doesn't matter at what age you are, at what stage of life you are.
Yeah.
the Bible referred to it as repentance. Repentance is about changing of mind.
Yeah.
I was going this direction, I'm changing mind. And God actually expects from us. So, and God, with repentance, the Bible says there is no forgiveness. There need to be repentance. Sins be taken away. So that means that there is always a change of behavior. At any time of your life, you can turn around new page. It's because the Bible says that if you are in Christ Jesus, you become a new creature. The old have passed away. Everything becomes new. So God has, in our life, God have commissioned, if I should say, that opportunity to each one of us to literally start over, to literally to look at what you have done wrong and say, you know what, I don't want to go this way anymore. I'm turning around. At any stage, you are able to say, well, I'm going to live a life of purity now.
Yeah.
And God to say, thank you. Your past life is all forgotten. We are looking at who you are now. That's very, very important. So we can do that at all time. So, but remember, is what the Bible says. It's always good to start early. Yeah, that's for me the key. So
start early.
And that's a privilege my brother and I, we had, as that we started early. So you don't need to eventually repent with having lost one eye, another leg, and one arm.
Agree.
You can start early and you can have both arms and both legs and continue enjoying your
life. And not only that.
Yes.
starting early, not having made the wrong choices in life already.
Yeah.
In purity, for instance.
Absolutely.
In marriage already.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the one thing about God, He forgives, but the consequences remain. And so I hear you when you say start early.
Start early. And I think that's a privilege that we had. And being a dad, that I've seen that, I remember when my adopted son got married, when we went to the village, and they were saying,
mm-hmm.
there's no one here in this entire village who's going to claim he was my son's, whatever girlfriend or stuff like that. Yes. And it's like, wow, what a reputation. It was a challenge to the entire community. Because he started early.
Which is so true.
Yes. Because he started early. And that's a privilege. I'm so thankful because by the grace of God, as my kids are also growing up, I can see the godly behavior in their lives. And I can just thank God.
Amen.
I can just thank God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I want to make references. Okay.
But before you do, we have another scheduled commercial break that's coming up.
All right.
Let's take that and then we'll be back to continue right with this interesting conversation on child training.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We just sort of like still halfway there. So we're not going anywhere. Stay tuned.
Kiko kuku kanwa te kawar kasin ka no ya ano kasin kawaka inhata kamaka Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform. Iko kuku kanwa ngunum se orbegunu aga inhaung jisa te geto ma I okoka inhosin. Kani amaku okon amakawa anuka akataha. Asipure van anuka wa anubia anuka akaka. Ketum ongkatin amaku kan e kacawar kaha. Sisa tanjakan amaku onu amakawan anuk a wasisa kogia katosis mungha. Communal Land Reform Act 5 of 2002 kukokhaka achisendo ha. Kise te kogia ka kukhamaka wakan anuk a katosis mungha. Ato waka karakawa tchauka mariga o ato kumina trunkwe. Amaku okok amakawa anuk a Khotut and Baga Chosaka Hemes Kap Mung. She Ang Ha Waga Anuk A Wamarka Amga Tem Ang Ayaka Nakunka Shia Sin Sin Kutwa Kamaha. Kunjaka Anuk A Khotut and Baga Kakunka and Hawung Akaga Okoka Kunka Chisatigaka Katoha. At Uncla Katisin Katiso Sembotiko Geha Ka Oka Nuk Amapunk Amahukawa Akaga Okla Kaka Traditional Authority Communal Land Board, the Ministry can do so so to make a quality gaha. Mukosison kaya, kawakawa muka chessens. Aka, damise tijoko teha. Ministry kabekiko kosunta kakwarakawa ka chessen. Se joko nukamaka kwaka teha. Anuk akokum, the kakereka toko kum okokuku ge. Na we jewel kasin, se joko sison kaya. Kawaka radio mum, ka joko nukamaka we. Kajaga government of Namibia ama kwa Republic kwa Germany ka kama ka Germany Development Bank ha kaka nation akan makuita ministry kandoa sa sako to ama kwa public relation kandoa sa kanyo kama ka Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform kaka telefono makawa 0610-308-0604.
And we are back. You're welcome to Family Dynamics right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. I'm joined in studio by Pastor Richard Nengushe.
Yes.
Of course, we're talking about child training and the importance of it. You were saying something before we went on a break?
Yes. Actually, thank you. I wanted just to make reference to, I said the goal is to raise up godly children. So I just want to emphasize why godliness. Why mm-hmm. why is godliness important?
Okay.
And I want to read that in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. It reads as follows. It says, physical training is good. Physical training is good.
Yeah,
education
yeah.
is good.
Yes.
Money is good.
Uh-huh.
Good environment is good.
Uh-huh.
All the other things
yes,
are
yes.
good.
Uh-huh.
one can actually add to that statistical training. Because why we said, but yeah, but because I said, you know, a lot of parents think their role is to make their children healthy.
Mm.
So they take them to good school, which is good. They take them to sports, all kind of sports, which is a good thing. So now the Bible, just want to bring that perspective.
Okay.
So the Bible say, yeah, those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying you should not do that.
Yeah. In fact,
go ahead and do it. Yeah. But listen, not at the expenses of this one important thing.
Okay.
What is that? Godliness.
Mm.
He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you aiming at? In life, always aim for the better, for the best thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
what did you mean with that scripture? In case somebody is wondering.
I'm not done. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8.
Okay. Says,
physical training is good. Yes. Take the child to sports, soccer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But training for godliness is much better.
Mm-hmm.
Promising benefit in this life and the life,
and the life
to
after.
Come. So therefore, I go for godliness, because when my son goes onto the sports ground, how is he going to behave? When he is at school, am I going to be called to school because he was in a fight or he did this? No. Wherever he's going to find himself.
At his workplace.
Because you got to remember, skills and your education and all these things will open up doors for you. But I'm telling you, character, that's usually what keeps you there. Everybody like want a skillful, let's say a skillful mechanic, but no one want to keep a mechanic with a bad mouth on his premises, because he's going to chase the customers away.
Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
I'm following.
Yes.
Nobody wants a bad employee, so to say.
Exactly.
With bad character, bad attitude.
You see, because skills, you can always train somebody.
That's true.
But character is very difficult to change. So even when you go to interviews, I'd rather employ somebody with a good character, with less skills, because I can work on the skills.
Yes.
But the character is most difficult to change, mm-hmm. because that one must start much earlier.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. I was in an environment where people were much, with PhDs, better qualification, they had to let them go because they couldn't handle the soft skills.
Uh-huh.
And those one they don't teach you at university.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, I don't need to struggle with the soft skills, because it's actually woven within me already.
Yes.
As being by my parents,
yes.
through the church, through the word of God.
Mm.
Those soft skills are here. It's not difficult for me to relate to the people, to be kind, to be gentle to
somebody. But it's difficult for some people.
Yes.
However, degrees and
skills they have. And that becomes the game changer. That's what's gonna close the doors eventually, because people will tolerate you for a little while, then they cannot let you, then they have to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to many people. You know, you find people who are very talented, but unfortunately character is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And that closes the door.
You're right.
Yes. So that's why the Bible says that, you know, godliness, benefit, more benefits. Because that's what's going to keep you. That's what's going to hold you. That's going to sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's that character, that personality, that right behavior at work and with your colleagues. If you are a manager, people start leaving because they cannot.
They can't keep up with you. Mm.
You are always shouting, you are always screaming at them, you are always lashing up on them, and they will leave and go somewhere else.
That's true. That's so true.
Yes. So I just wanted to emphasize just to bring that balance there about why godliness.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. I want to ask this particular, now that you're speaking, it's giving me another picture.
Yes.
Normally, I had this picture in my mind. Usually, if I go to someone's house and I ask to use the bathroom, and if the bathroom is very untidy, it gives me a different picture to say, what kind of people are living here? Okay, but then now you're giving me a picture, so to say. I think when you want to understand who these parents are, look at their children.
That's the other way you can look at it.
Yeah, look at their children. You know, when you see that the child is so calm, so well collected, so respectful, so, you know, has these qualities that are very rare to find also in many children, you begin to see this is the handwriting of a parent actually on them.
Yes.
And especially when the character trained is in most of the kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't want to pick one and just frame it.
Yes.
Yeah. There might be that other one who's just an apple that, not actually another saying, an apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
From the tree. Indeed.
Yeah. So it's giving me that aspect, but there's a particular point I also want to ask Pastor Richard in terms of, still on that scripture, parents do not provoke your children,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
What are some of the characters? What are some of the things that you would say parents
can provoke, you know,
can provoke their children?
I think the another important thing is the approach. I believe when you're dealing with the whatever you are not happy about, how do you approach it?
Yeah.
Also, that can provoke. So what do I mean by that? You find sometimes something happened, and your response is blaming already. You are already blaming. You are already insinuating. You know, nobody wants to be blamed for something they have not done.
Exactly.
Yes. So it doesn't really matter if you say, okay, I know Richard is always the one who acts like this, but if you come to me and you're already blaming me that I've done something that I've not done.
Yeah.
That, for me, that's one of the things, especially when you are approaching your children. Don't come blaming. Don't come with, you are always like this. You always do like this. You're probably the one who did this. You know? Then the child already start reacting. So it's very important your approach when you come to anything that is done wrong, whatever, your approach to coming to the bottom of it as to who did this, and it's very, very important. You don't come blaming, you come investigating.
Okay.
Yes, that's very, for me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Even if something went missing, one thing I'm always very cautious about is I don't start blaming or start insinuating that who and who. Because if I did not see it, then I don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the one you must approach. You must not judge, judging, condemning, blaming already, but you don't have no evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
You investigate. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. This happened. You want to find out
who did this.
Don't come already with the judgment and condemning
and concluding blame, already.
And concluding already. Because that, it hurts.
It does.
It really goes, it hits deep and it hurts and start to bring reactions. And children start either can then take up attitude of victim, attitude of I'm a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Things start happening.
Mommy doesn't love me. She only loves the other person.
I'm always blamed. I don't want to be here. And while it's not really the issue, but it's the way you treat, so I'd say, don't provoke them to anger, the way you treat them. Do you blame them all the time? Do you already condemn them? Do you already judge them? Do you label them? It's very important. Don't label your children. I remember my mom, when I come with a report from school and I haven't done well, you know, my mother will always say, son, I see you haven't done well, but don't worry. I know you're going to pass at the end of the day. Because you always pass. That's what she always going to say. You know how what it did to me all the time.
Yeah.
Man, I was so motivated.
Mm-hmm.
She will always say, Encouraging
you.
She always gonna encourage me. And then now, of course, I don't wanna disappoint my mom.
Yes. Because she already believes in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you find, okay. Yes. Thank you. You find the child will come and he has perhaps failed and the parents will blow up and start screaming, shouting, start, yeah, it's because you always like this and you always do this and you didn't know this. You know, if you observe that is a problem, how you treat the child just make a difference. I remember when my daughter was just finished her degree in IFS degree, when she had to write her grade 12, is it grade 12 or grade 11? I don't know, but that's the last exam she wrote so that she can mm-hmm. go to university.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things my wife and I, we sat down and said, what are we supposed to do to help her so that she can pass?
Yes.
And we look and we realize that the cell phone was a problem. Yeah, social media.
Yeah.
So we sat there down and said,
it's a problem for many people, even adults.
Yeah, yes. So we said, honey, sorry, we're going to take away your cell phone.
I love how you said sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So, we took away. She can't stop thanking us.
Oh, wow.
I said, Daddy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. If you have not taken away that cell phone, you'll tell us. I probably would not have performed that well.
Oh.
Yes. So, so how you treat, but I'm talking about how you do it.
Yes, it's very how you important. Do it. Yes. Not just what you do.
Yes,
you know,
how you do certain things.
I was surprised to find.
It's very, very important.
I was surprised to find a scripture in the Bible that mm-hmm. talks about, I can't remember specifically who, but mm-hmm. I think it was a king.
All right.
He did the right thing.
Yes.
But not with the right heart or not with the right attitude in that angle.
Yes.
So in other words, you can do the right thing.
Yes.
But not with the right attitude.
Yes.
That I now connect that to what you're saying.
Absolutely.
How you do it.
Yes.
Even if you're going to remove the child's cell phone.
Yes.
I think how you communicate to them is very important.
Yes.
Because then either they become very hostile.
Yes.
Or they become later now be accepting of what you did.
Absolutely.
And you gave an example about a child grades, especially a child failing,
mm-hmm.
and then parents go, bombastic on them.
Absolutely, yes.
We're heading into January and mm-hmm. results are coming out, especially the grade 12, or is it grade 11 now? Results are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of parents are now going to be doing comparison game. Look at your neighbor did this and you, but you are here and you are, and you know, it becomes a repetitive pattern.
Yes.
Even if the child is eating freely, look at you drinking oshukundu like you didn't fail.
Yeah.
It's something that really, I do remember my mom, there was a time, when my boys were with my mom and they got C's and D's. And my mom was telling me, scolding them to say, they got D's and C's and what? And I'm like, but what's wrong with that? What's wrong with getting C's and D's?
Yeah.
If anything, we should applaud.
Yes.
I was an A student in high school.
Wow.
I was. But I've learned to realize that we're not all going to be A students.
Absolutely.
Or B students.
Absolutely.
Not. So when my child comes home
mm-hmm.
with C's and B's, for the mere fact that you have passed mm-hmm. and you have achieved the required competency to go to the next grade.
Yes.
I will applaud you. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not going to be happy to see E's in my child's report.
Yes.
But the moment I see C's and D's, if there's a B.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
But I'm not going to push my children to say, you must go an A.
Uh-huh.
I don't want that comparison game.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think that's also another aspect of not provoking the kids.
Yes.
And comparing them.
I agree.
Yes.
So not just comparing. The important thing is the fact that
mm-hmm.
when you are encouraging the child to perform, you are aiming at the child's potential. So
right.
you are helping him,
mm-hmm.
guiding him to always perform at
His best.
The best of
his ability.
Absolutely.
Ooh, I love that.
That's the most important.
I love that.
So when the child comes and got a D, you say, oh, wonderful, son, whatever. At least you didn't fail. But as you know yourself, right?
Exactly.
That you can do much better. Because you probably there will be references.
Yeah.
You know how you, that in the same subject you got A before.
Yeah.
So if you could get an A, what will prevent you to get an A?
Yeah.
So then you work on the reasons why he or she could not manage. I remember my daughter, my last born just did grade 8. She's 100% convinced it was not her best of her ability.
Aww.
So, and of course, she's very happy that eventually she actually passed.
Yeah.
But then I'm quick to remind her, but you know that you are this kind of.
Exactly.
So we're going to work towards this
aiming.
Yes, because that's where your potential lies. We were able to, because we're able to acknowledge that she had a few challenges and a bit of health challenges this year. She just turned to a new school. She just went to there was a lot of changes.
And I think we overlook that.
Yes.
I appreciate how you're saying that. Mm-hmm. You acknowledge that there were certain changes that might have contributed to her not performing so good.
Yes.
Sometimes your child, the both of you experienced a death within the year.
Yes.
The grandfather died in, like for instance, my grandfather died in April last year.
Yes.
No, this very year. So depending to, my mom might have taken it okay. My other aunt might have taken it very difficult and affected her workplace. My cousin on the other, my sister actually, my own biological sister, she took it quite, not so easy. I later now realized why she probably took it, because at one point I was like, grandfather was old. And I think we kind of anticipated that he might leave us soon. And he was also sickly.
Right.
But for her, her dad died when she was small. My dad is still alive.
Sure.
My grandfather became like a dead figure to her.
Yes.
So she would take it very differently. Now, if she was in school and performs weakly or poorly, sometimes as a parent or as the bigger sister, you fail to understand that that could have played a role.
Absolutely.
And you conclude to say, she was just lazy. She didn't put in a lot of work.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So I love how you say acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. It's very important. What is important, we need to guard, because I remember years back how a grade 10 learner, when she received, I think that time the results came out.
Yeah.
And then she took her own life.
Oh.
She shot herself in the bedroom.
Was that you say?
Lena, a grade 10 Lena, committed suicide. Well, I don't know the full story, but it's, I think it was more the fear of facing the parents, most probably. No, just a reference of one, but these kind of things do happen. Because the child does not have the courage to face the parent.
Yes.
So, looking at you as talking about the results will be coming out right now.
Yeah.
It's very, we need to be very cautious as parents how we respond to the performance of our children. Because we cannot just drive them to anger.
We can drive them,
to
suicide.
Suicide. Self-destruction. So that anger is just provoking. You've got to remember that sometimes not everything is written. But when you read scripture, you realize there is more to it.
Yes.
Yeah. For example, it's not just anger. It could be provoking a child to taking his own or her life, provoking your child to a self-destructive behavior and attitude, provoking your child to everything that is negative. That can also happen in response to how you treat the child. So we need to be careful. And in this time of the year, we need to be careful how we do treat our children in relation to their performance, their results and stuff like that. Because children knows that, oh, mom and dad, they will behave like this. So I can't face that. And they can easily end their lives.
Pastor Richard, you remind me of a story also. A friend of my cousin, and we used to play together, back in the north. She then the dad came to get her from the village to go and study in Valves Bay. And her father told her, I think the father was a police officer, so he owned a gun. And the father told her that the moment you get pregnant, I'm going to kill you. Lo and behold, she did get pregnant.
All right.
And she wrote a suicide note for the dad.
Sure.
She took the father's gun and shot herself.
Could you believe it?
So as you give that story,
mm-hmm.
it's beyond school marks that are coming out. It's things like this.
Yes.
Whereby, of course, nobody wants their child to bring a baby home when yes. they are still a child. And when they are not even married for that matter.
Yes.
But I think when it does happen, does your child know that you have an open door policy?
Yes, yes.
Do they know that mommy would rather have me
uh-huh.
come and open up and say, Dad, I'm sorry.
Yes.
This is what happened. I'm pregnant now.
Yes.
I know I'm 16.
Yes.
But, and cry to you.
Yes.
Or would they rather say, you know what? Because in their mind, they are really thinking you are literally going to kill them.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to do it.
Yes.
But it's the words that you utter. Oh my God.
You know, it reminds me of, we recently had one of our, church member coming to visit. They're living in the US now.
Okay.
It's a mixed couple. So the husband was saying, oh, but pastor, when I came around you, you didn't give me tough time. You know, it's like,
oh, you see.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't go like, oh, are you sure this is right? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no. For me, I believe, as a pastor, my role is to teach and to raise up, and I need to have faith in the people I'm raising.
Yes.
And so I always say that, yes, man. And when the time of decision I'm making comes, I need to have confidence that I've done the right things. So as a result, whatever choices they make, I was just telling him, I said, the reason why I didn't give him tough time, because yes, I know then my role changes.
Yes.
I get into the role of supporting, so that if they have made their choices, and one of my role I need to play is to be the one catching. If they fall, my role is to catch them.
That's true.
And to nurture them that's back true. To wholeness. Therefore, that's why I did not give him tough time, because yes. I had confidence that I believe she made the right choice. She made the choice that she believed she is the right one based on the guidance
that you've given over time.
And I've given them our time. So otherwise, I have no confidence in myself. What am I talking about?
Exactly.
So, because I train, I equip, then I let them make their choices. When they make their choices, then there will be consequences. If they make the right choice, if they make the right choice and things go their way, I'm still the parent. I'm still the spiritual father.
Of course.
I've not changed.
Exactly.
So the behavior and choices does not change who we are towards our children. So mm-hmm. I remember that you are the parent when they do the right choices and they do the wrong choices.
Aww.
So, and when they do the wrong choice, eventually your role is not just to raise up and to correct, but your role is also to nurture, to heal, to help restore. That is all part of parenthood. You are ready to heal, to help healing, to help restore, to help this person to rehab. You, mm-hmm. That's all part of parenting.
Actually.
Yes, your parenting goes as far as that. So what happens a lot of times when our children make the wrong choices, we don't become the rehab center. We don't become the restoring. We become the judges.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
The condemners. So all we do, we judge, we condemn. Are you getting what I'm saying?
I'm getting what you're saying.
But we are there to bring. God is not just there. God is also there to help.
He's not just there to judge us and punish us.
Yes. He's also there to heal us, to
restore us.
To
embrace us.
Embraces.
To accept us.
Absolutely.
My goodness.
You need all those elements. Those are all the things that is within parenthood and within training your child and raising up.
Yeah.
So you gotta always say, what we were talking about. I was saying that, you know, that we're talking about, being children and sons. And, I said that you need an environment where people need to know they can actually make mistakes, because the Bible says perfect love casted off here. Love covers multitude of sins. So we grow in an environment where we know that when I make a mistake, I will not be rejected. I'll be embraced, I'll be accepted, and I'll be helped and be corrected and be restored.
And still be loved.
And be loved.
Fully and fully.
Absolutely. That is the environment in which we really grow. Because now I can think outside the box. I can express myself without fear. Because I know Dad got my back. Mom got my back. My brother got my back. If it's in the church, my congregation got my back. That's the environment where we can actually excel. Because you got to express if you need to explore in life. So you need that environment. So we're talking about children. Therefore, we as children of God, children, that's identity. Mm-hmm. It speaks about our sense of belonging.
Mm.
We need that environment. I'm loved. I'm accepted. Okay. But sonship, it's maturity. It speaks of responsibility. It speaks of I take ownership. It speaks of being trusted with inheritance. Blah, 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 blah. It's a different. But that maturity can only happen if this environment is right. And then the other important thing I want to also mention is that when it comes to parenting, it's not just only limited or ends with you as a parent. Your extended family also plays a huge role.
True.
That's very important to mention that. So, behavior is caught firstly from you, but remember you have a brother, you have a sister, you have your mother, and these are all people where your child can actually catch behavior. So parents always say, where did you learn this? It's because parenthood or behavior is not just caught here.
Yeah.
It's also caught the entire environment where the child is moving.
Correct.
Yeah. So therefore it's, and part of your parenting then is also to guard the environment where your child goes. I remember my wife, she never really, as the children were growing, even though my mother was very loving, she didn't really allow my children necessarily when they were younger to go and stay with her. One of the reasons was because mom was always moving around. So my mother was a very godly woman. But the problem is that when she's not around, who's going to be there?
Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
I hear.
So you got to scan your entire environment and you make your choices. People may say things, but you must watch. It's because you understand, I may not be swearing, but if I send my child to Auntie Mary, that environment, you know exactly the kind of environment.
The shouting, the swearing, the insult.
The drinking, the partying, the whatever. So do you want your child to be in that environment? No, so I won't
pick up that behavior.
And pick up that behavior. So I won't send my child to Auntie Mary. But if I'm not going to keep him from Auntie Mary in terms of you never make connection, but I make sure when you go to Auntie Mary, I'm also there.
Yeah.
It's very important. So you scan your environment and your God is very important.
Mm-hmm.
The people that will have direct impact and influence on the child. Whether it's some parents who want, oh, my child will go to a good school, just education, but maybe there's a school where have you scanned enough? Maybe drug abuse at that school is very
skyrocketing.
Mm. Alcohol is skyrocketing.
Mm.
And that child will spend hours every day at that school.
Oh, yes.
And that's what. Well, I need to send him there. Make sure the environment is right for your child. Those are also very important issues. Extending, knowing that behavior will be caught, but not just from you, from everybody who has an influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember why I'm saying that because I remember before I came to high school to Windhoek, I think I was in grade 8 or grade 8. Is it grade 8? Yes, perhaps that. And one of my teachers observed me, and because he knows my background,
yeah,
the kind of household I'm coming from.
Okay.
So he observed me. And then he saw that I started a friendship with this other boy.
Uh-huh.
And he realized, no. That's going to be bad influence. So he came to me and said, Richard, if you want to really be a good boy, as you are raised to be, I want to advise you to stop this friendship. Wow.
Yeah.
Because, but I knew the teacher is one of the most kindest person. I knew there's no way you'd just be talking to me, telling me stuff which
out of the blue.
Out of the blue. And I knew he doesn't have wrong intention with me. Well, I listened to him. And looking back, I'm always thankful. Because I look at my friend now, and I look and I say, well, I would have ended up just like him.
Ah, you see now.
Yeah. So it's important. They behave, the environment with the child. It's not just, it's just good education, but how are they? Are you able to find out how are the teachers?
Mm-hmm. Are you able to go there?
Yes.
Are they
caring for the children?
Mm.
What kind of people are dealing?
Are they in a tight environment?
Yes. How's the environment in tight environment? You must scan all these things because all those things will have an impact and influence on your child.
And you know,
the training of the child.
Absolutely, Pastor. And you know, a lot of parents are going to be sending their children to boarding school now.
Yes.
I don't believe in boarding school. I'm so sorry. I don't.
You don't believe in boarding school.
Nope. I don't advocate for it. Yeah. I understand that there's maybe a need for it sometimes.
Yes.
But I believe in children being raised up at home, being grown. I refuse to go to boarding school. You know,
yes.
When I was a teenager and there was a possibility talks of me going to stay in the hostel, I said, never forever. I ain't going to stay in the hostel. And sometimes really that is a very important aspect that you're mentioning, because sometimes it requires the parent to go to this particular school, whether it's a boarding school or what they call now a hostel.
Yes.
And scan the environment where your child is going to be sleeping.
Absolutely.
They just release the children to the matron and give all the, what do you call it now? Wheat beets and cornflakes and instant porridge and oros and bread and the $50.
Yes.
Turn their back and they have left their children. They don't even know where their children are sleeping.
Yes.
They don't know who is over their children.
Yes.
They don't know whether there are boys who are sexually molesting other boys.
Absolutely.
In that school. None
Very
of
important.
Those things. They don't know whether girls at every day from 5 to 7 o'clock when the sun sets, they are standing in the corner with some boy.
Yes.
And that's how their child comes back and wonder, where did I miss it?
Exactly.
So I'm glad you're talking about scanning the environment.
Scan the environment is very important. Then I think one of the things important too is to, you got to have some kind of routines, things that you do to instill this
discipline,
the behavior, the times of communication. What do you do? One of the things I've come to realize what's important is the eating together.
Okay.
As a family.
Okay.
It becomes one of those platforms that gives you quite a lot of opportunity.
Nice.
Yes. And as parents, we need to watch out. Social media is intruding. Mm. So you find that people come to the dinner table and everybody's having a cell phone.
Everybody's
on their
phone and
yes,
their
one,
gadget.
This one is on YouTube. This one, they're all eating. There's no communication. Oh, no, put those things away. Church, one of the things I do, for example, after church, sit around the table to eat, and then now we discuss even the message on Sunday.
Okay.
The message that was preached.
Yeah.
Yes, we start to talk about what was your takeaway. As you are eating, we go around the table, we discuss that, very important. That becomes a given platform to touch on many things. You don't need to call for another meeting. You can use that time for right after everybody's eaten. Uh-huh. You can now take out your Bible, read scripture too, and pray together.
Yes.
So it's I believe a very dynamic platform that one can use. And sometimes we also discuss the chores then eventually.
Okay.
Well, who's supposed to do a chore and who's not doing it? Blah. Sometimes we discuss it during that time. But just a suggestion, have a kind of a way how you can approach
get
this.
Together. Also.
Yes, get together. Uh-huh. So I was invited to a school But one of the primary school, it was father and boy, or boy and father's day, you know. So I kind of just shared my experience, how I was raised, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I just shared about how my dad raised me.
Yeah.
And then I asked the boys, I asked them, what do you think is my favorite activity after the church service on Sunday?
Yeah.
And everybody, oh, Bible study with your sons. I said, no, we watch movies together. So that is about time.
Oh.
Yes, a very important element of training is you need to spend time with your children. Fathers, spend time with your sons. Mothers, spend time with your daughters.
Yeah.
For me, Sunday afternoon is movie time with the boys.
With the boys.
Yes. Every Sunday after church, we spend time after we had our meal. Then we go watch movies, and then now when there's a soccer game, then we watch the game together. Then we go back to the movie.
Yeah.
But just the spending time together is very important, because it's poor. Remember, I said good behavior is cult. Rather just thought. So that and how will it be caught? A lot of time. It's the time spent together. So it's very important. They need to spend time. So, and that's the sad thing, in our society right now, is that most homes, fathers are missing.
That's true.
Yeah. And that becomes one of the sad thing we experienced. I remember years back, I was a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was somewhere down southeast. I think it's a town called Aranos.
Okay.
And there was this and here church Domini, and he called me and he said, you know what, Richard, I don't want to speak bad about black people, but then he said that I believe the one thing that is missing is the structure. That structure is missing. He says most homes there is no mother and father at home. It's just rather, there's just a single mother who's there.
Yeah.
She's struggling raising 4 or 5 children.
Yeah.
So you find them roaming the streets at night. Even 10 o'clock, you find our children running, roaming the street, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night on the street. Because the father is not there.
Yes.
Sometimes the mother is also not there.
Mm.
It's just children dumped with their grandparents.
Yes.
Their parents are struggling. But family structure is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a call, especially to men. We need to find back our place and our place at home to really give leadership. We are losing a generation here.
Mm-hmm.
And the God gave us that responsibility,
mm-hmm.
is to be the head and to lead. So leadership is actually missing.
Mm-hmm.
Structures are broken. Systems non-existent. And society is struggling. That's why we're seeing all the mess in our communities. It's because there is no proper structure. There is no proper leadership.
Yeah.
Those who are supposed to lead, they are nowhere to be found. If you go to churches on Sundays, it's just full of women. And then children, men are nowhere to be found. And then you're seeing it all over. Now we can do had a wedding, and both the bride and the bridegroom go away, and led by their mothers, literally. Fathers are not there.
Yeah.
But not just the fathers.
Uncles.
Where are the uncles?
Yeah.
You wonder, where are the uncles? Where is the senior uncle?
To stand in for the dad.
Something like that.
Mm-mm.
That's that void that is in our societies right now. So because, you know, remember, at any school there's a headmaster. And I believe the father is supposed to be the headmaster. Headmasters are missing. The homeschooling, because of the home is the first level of training, literally. Yeah. Well, there are no headmasters anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just teachers who are running around trying their best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. I make a call to all men. Let's find our way back and start training our children. Let's give the leadership that is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers will always say, "Men, I know it's you." The men, they will actually listen to you.
Which is so true.
Because the men, yes, like my father, the funny thing, you know, coming back to my parents, you know, my father have never touched me literally, physically, in terms of spanking me. He has not touched us physically. None. That's what my mother used to do.
Oh, wow.
But just his voice.
Oh.
The authority. They carried so much authority. And that authority that God has invested in you as a man, it's priceless. And it's very important. Even today, my wife was reminding me. He said, "Honey, talk to your son." Because he needed to do a show. And, but it seems that she already spoken to him about it.
Uh-huh.
So, but that you, like, okay, I said, but my answer was, "No, baby, it's your son. Just tell him."
It's how she switched to your son.
Yes, and I did not realize that, because it's not how she started. Uh-huh. I did not realize she already spoken to him about it.
Yeah.
Yes, but now remember, if it's a single mother, there's nobody to refer to.
Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
I'm getting it.
Yeah. There's nobody to refer to.
Trust me, I understand it better than.
So important. And all those elements is important because, I made reference, we also attended, parenthood training.
Oh, yes.
So, and, this particular training, they are emphasizing that one of the important thing of parenting is, your goal is literally to train your children to obey you.
Oh.
Yes. And not just to obey you, to obey you on first instruction.
Ooh.
Wow. I said, wow. So, and that's, you see, because.
Huh? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah, it's possible. Uh-huh. So the effect of the father, why my wife was saying, "Rich money, speak to your son," because it's about authority.
Yes.
It's about, because a part of training is to raise your children, your sons, to respect authority. Because lawlessness, it means there's no regard for authority.
Mm.
And that is part of your training. And it's about, and as they were teaching us, it's about raising your children to obey you on first instruction. And then they gave a very interesting example. He said, what if your child, every time you have to tell him 5 times before he obeys you? What about tomorrow? There's a truck coming and he's right on the road. And you say, "John, get out there, sir." Next moment he's hit by the truck because he's not instilled in him to obey on first instruction. There are times where when you obey is very important. When you react is very important, and that is instilled. So, and that's the respect of authority, obeying. So your, as a parent, your role literally is to teach your child to obey you. Because if he can't obey you outside there, he's not going to obey anything. He's not going to stick to any instruction. He's not going to stick to any rule of anyone else. So, but if he can learn to obey you, to learn to submit to the authority at home, then it's easier out there, isn't it? Because the question is, who are you? Because my father does not do this. Who are you? I remember when we were at school, one boy got some spanking and he started screaming and he was just a little boy. He said, "My father has not one honor." And then he ran home. Of course, calling his parents. And funny enough, our parents will come and lash out on the teacher.
I'm telling you. Sincerely. Wow. I've learned so much myself. I have a lot of introspection that I need to do.
Amen.
A lot of correcting and a lot of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
First on myself before I actually step into the new year.
Sure.
You know, earlier I was speaking to one of my colleagues there, and I was thinking about how we make new year resolutions.
Mm.
And they're always a new car, a house,
mm-hmm.
this, that.
Yes.
And we forget about character building also as a resolution.
Absolutely.
Superstar Richard, thank you so much. Wow. That's been a wonderful conversation, really.
Thank you.
Your closing remarks as we talk about child training.
Well, my closing remark is to really to encourage, it's more encouraging, that is. Yeah, it's just to say that, well, even though you have to start early, but it's never too late.
Mm.
Yes. Never give up.
Okay.
Always, as you spoke about resolution, what's your new resolution for this year? What are you going to do different?
Mm.
If you are still a parent, you're still a parent. You need to continue. And so make changes, necessary changes,
mm-hmm.
new resolutions. Mm-hmm. It's never too late. Continue. Don't give up. Don't surrender.
Okay. Okay. I will not give up. I will not surrender.
Yes. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
And now we have come to the conclusion after this episode on family dynamics. I must say this has been, I don't want to say plain conversation at all. It was really something that just happened sort of almost like out of the blue. But you know how interestingly, nothing actually happens by coincidence and surprise under the sun. So it's been an interesting conversation. If you are interested in listening to this conversation again, please head over to our podcast session. Download the Eagle FM app if you haven't already. Head over to our Eagle FM website and tune in again tomorrow, same time, same place, from 1300 hours to 1430 with me, your host, Nafa, happy Juju, as we bring you another interesting conversation on family dynamics. Goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow.